Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Curry Robertson this morning, the president of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance, and he soon will be retiring from the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. We'll talk about that, but Curry, good to have you in this morning.
Thanks, Ted. Good to be here, as always.
Good to have you here. This it occurred to me, you're one of those people that, and I have had you in, and we have talked about a lot of things, more so than most people. You come in and they talk about their one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you and Scott came in now. We have our football and basketball shows every year.
Yeah, but he didn't want to talk about basketball. He can't even name the players on his own team. So
I have you this morning. But it's good. It is good to have you here. You've been with the Regional Alliance locally for how many years now?
It's right at 12 years.
Okay.
It would be 12 years exactly in September.
I remember seeing you a couple of times over on William Street. And finally, I said to somebody, I said, I've seen Curry Roberts in town a lot. This must have been about 12 years ago. And someone said, yeah, he's working here now. And so I didn't, you kind of slipped into town. And That was
by design. I had to slip into town.
You slipped into town kind of
undercover
quietly.
Darkness, you know.
But you have had it seems in your career. I mean, you showed up around here. Have showed up around here over the years.
Well, it's funny you call it career. I always look at it as an odyssey rather than a career.
Yeah, I can see it's
been quite interesting. But yeah, I've when I worked for the state, I was in and out of the Fredericksburg area a lot, and then. Didn't come over here as much except to meet some friends out of D.C. for dinner when I was living in Charlottesville. And then when I became president of the fair, obviously I was back here because we were relocating it. And then 12 years ago, I took this job. And it's been great. I always wanted to live here. It's a great town. And, my wife, Irene, who grew up in Prince William and went to Mary Washington.
Worked
in radio, and she always wanted to come back here, and so we'll be back here full-time in June.
Well, that's good to know that you're going to be around. You told me a few weeks ago that you weren't going anywhere. I was glad to hear that.
Well, you're probably one of the few people that are glad to hear that, Ted, but sure, okay. No, we absolutely love it here. We live downtown and walk to everything and got a lot of friends here, so looking forward to spending more time.
I didn't realize you lived in Charlottesville. It's too bad while you were living in Charlottesville you didn't acquire a taste for a certain university.
Oh, Tech was always my school. I used to joke, I lived in this neighborhood and a guy who had been a quarterback for UVA back in the 60s, not George Allen, lived two doors down. Well, his wife went to Tech, and I always jokingly thought about getting a blue tick hound and naming it Hokie just so I could call it and it would bay and, you know, annoy the neighbors. But I'm out in my yard one day, and it was the week of the Tech-UVA game.
Uh-huh.
And my neighbor went down the street, pulled into his house, and the next thing I know, he's coming back up the street with this armload of Virginia Tech stuff and threw it in my driveway. And I'm like, what's this about, right? Well, his wife had decorated the yard while he was out, and he thought I did it.
Well, the one thing when anything we've ever talked about over the years, Virginia Tech always comes out. You're a proud Hokie graduate and a frequent visitor to Lane Stadium and in other Blacksburg venues.
Yeah, every Tech grad would go back to Blacksburg if they could. It's a great place to go to school. It's a great town. It's a great part of the state. I've still got relatives out in Montgomery County that I visit when I go out for games. But yeah, most people are proud of where they went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if it is UVA, but most people are proud of where they go to school.
I have a son.
Or West Virginia or whatever.
I have a son and a wife who went to Virginia Tech, and they're like you. They love the place. And I always say I've never seen a school that has that kind of following. And it was always like that even before the tragedy of the shootings. There always was that love of the school and the community.
Oh, it goes way back. I've got the secretary I succeeded, Dick Bagley, who was a wonderful, wonderful man. When they built Lane Stadium and they tore down old Miles Stadium, they made pencil holders out of the bleachers.
Oh, wow.
And he had one of those, and he gave it to me when he retired from state government. I still got it.
I was going to say, I'm sure you still have it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So when you graduated from Tech, did you foresee, could you have ever guessed the odyssey you've been on?
No, that's like, you know, people say, do you grow up wanting to be an economic developer? I don't see kids showing up for, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up day? I haven't heard that one, that any kid shows up doing that. But, as soon as literally before I graduated, which was in 1980, I'd already started working on Jerry Blau's attorney general campaign because I'd worked for a state senator for we still had a quarter system back then. So I could take winter quarters off and go to Richmond and work during the General Assembly, and went to work on that campaign. And it just, everything kind of flowed from that in the course of my career.
We'll talk about your career as we go along this point. But the one thing is, and I was thinking about this, because you just mentioned it, nobody talks about, wanting to go into economic development. But as I have talk to you in some of the topics we'll talk about today, that I think the thing I would guess or would say about Curry Roberts is that the thing that you've looked upon economic development and any of the things you've worked at is jobs. It means jobs. It means families can live here and play here and do all the things that they do.
Yeah, that is what attracted me to it. It's not the building. You know, it's not the CapEx, but, local governments love that. But I had an experience last week. I was in Danville for an economic development function. And this gentleman introduced himself as being the general manager for a company called Intertape. Intertape was a competitor to 3M for industrial packaging. I worked on that project in 1987 to attract it to Danville.
Really?
It was a Canadian company.
Yeah.
Of all things, the competition was Danville, Illinois. And you're like, how'd that happen? But yeah, and here we are, almost 40 years later, and that plant's still there, still functioning. He said they're doing great. So to know that you had an opportunity to create what turned out to be career opportunities for people in one facility, that's the reward. That's what gets you up every day.
Yeah.
To go to work and to do what we do.
And I'm sure you could look around here and see all kinds of things in the area and know that, that you all, you and others played a role in getting that.
Drive by the old General Motors plant every day and look at IDX, and that plant was empty when I got here. I'm not taking all the credit for getting IDX here, but we did help Spotsylvania County quite a bit on that project. That's one where actually we could have won even bigger. We worked with Novavax, which was one of the people one of the companies that developed vaccines for COVID. They're headquartered in Frederick, Maryland, and they were working on some other vaccine, and this was back in 2015, 2016. And they specialize in respiratory vaccines. The way they normally work is they would develop the intellectual property. They'd run it through all the phase trials, get it approved by FDA, and then they'd sell it to a Pfizer or a Merck or somebody else to manufacture it. Well, they had this one vaccine they were working on, decided they were going to keep it and manufacture it. And they were interested in the Racer plant. Because their head engineer had converted a defunct auto plant in California into a pharmaceutical facility. And they needed the space because they could divide it up, do R&D. They could segregate, what they needed to do. And we were humming along, thought they were going to take it. It was a big project. Average wage was, even then, a decade ago, was over $100,000. 250 initial jobs, chance to get another 100 in R&D, and their vaccine flunked its trials. It's phase three trials. So we didn't lose it. It just, you know, one of those things. Yeah. And we were fortunate to backfill with IDX.
Curry Roberts here, the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. He's getting ready to retire soon. We're talking with him this morning. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Curry Roberts in this morning, Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. So when you you mentioned when you graduated from Tech and then you worked up with campaigns and then you was it the Biles administration? You were like commerce and
commerce and trade. I started out as the deputy secretary. It used to be one big secretary. It had over 30 agencies in it, and it was commerce and natural resources. That's what it was when Jerry became governor. But he had campaigned on separating them, not to create friction.
Yeah.
But he didn't think you could bring an appropriate focus to either if he kept them in one secretariat. And I think it did. It helped both areas function better. And so I became the deputy secretary for what was Secretary of Economic Development, which is now Commerce and Trade. And unfortunately, the secretary back then was just, like I said, a wonderful guy, Dick Bagley, who a longtime member of the General Assembly from Hampton, chairman of the Appropriations Committee for a number of years. He had a health event that ultimately he retired about 2 years into the administration. So I was an accidental secretary.
Oh, okay.
At age 30 in 1988, and loved it. It was a great job.
Well, I really met you when you got involved with the state fair, and bringing the state fair to Caroline.
Right. I became president of the fair in 2003.
Okay, that's about right, yeah.
And I had spent 12 years working for a fairly affluent investor over in Charlottesville, John Kluge, overseeing a bunch of businesses for him, plus a 10,000-acre farming operation with 28 residents. It was like being a town manager.
I
worked for him for about 12 years, which was great. It was like somebody paying me to get an MBA from him. He was self-made. I went to work for him, he was number one on the Forbes list. I had an occasion about 3 years later, John had slipped to third, and the longtime Secretary of Agriculture in North Carolina was a guy named Jim Graham, who was just a first-rate character. And I was in North Carolina for a Southern States Cooperative function, and he was sitting next to me. He said, "Curry, you went to work for that Kluge fellow, didn't you?" And I said, "Yeah." "Wasn't he number one when you went to work for him?" And I said, "Yeah." "And now he's number three. What'd you do?" And I said, "I expanded his farming operation." That's how he slipped to number three. But anyway, I've been really fortunate in the people I worked for. I've learned something from all of them, and they've by and large been really great people to work with and for. So I'm fortunate in that regard.
I don't remember how we ended up. And you may have just reached out to me and said, "Hey, the state fair we're looking at coming to Caroline. You know, we developed a relationship." But
that was actually Jay Luger, who was our media.
Media
relations guy.
I couldn't remember who that was.
And he's still doing that, not for the fair, but he's still got a business on media relations.
But when you first came
in. And another tech graduate, I might add.
Of course.
Well, no, he was already working there when I got there. So.
When I didn't meet you, because I did know you from the Biles administration, and I did work a lot in the 80s with the Virginia News Network. And so when you came in here, to me, you were like a celebrity. Like that. I was kind of in awe of you for a while.
And then you got over it, right? You came to your senses.
Those were exciting days to have the state fair coming to Caroline, and then there was the concern. Then the economy.
Our financing was built around the income on an investment portfolio from the sale of the old fairgrounds. And I won't bore you with it. We had some interesting lenders. And back then, the chairman of the board was Billy Beal.
Oh, from
Atlantic Union.
Yeah.
And I'd call Billy up and I'd say, what are these bankers thinking? And he said, I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I've never seen anybody do this. So if Billy's never seen it, and as conservative a banker as he is.
Yeah.
But effectively, you know, we just could not, because of the stock market decline, we couldn't make debt service, and they wouldn't restructure. So, you know, we filed Chapter 11. We actually made them an offer. We offered them $1.5 million more than they ultimately got going to auction.
Wow.
So the Farm Bureau bought it, and they operate it. They're doing a great job. It's a great organization. They had the same mission we did. I'm glad to have it. I've still got a couple of colleagues that worked with me then, still there, and they've just done great with it.
So how did you get how did we get you to Fredericksburg and the Regional Alliance?
Well, I started doing some consulting and then went in-house with Herschler. They had a okay. small consulting, non-legal consulting practice. And I had three of the board members at the fair were from here, Richard Chichester, Charlie Payne, and Ken Farmer. And Charlie called up one day and he said, Ken Farmer would like to talk to you about a job. And Kent was chairman of the FRA yeah. then. And so we had lunch, and I went through an interview process for this job. And what did it come down to? They were searching for a successor to the president then, and they were sitting around looking at each other going, doesn't anybody know anybody in economic development? And finally, Charlie said, I think something on Curry's resume says economic development. And
that's a line or two.
Yeah, that's how I got here. And I'd known Ken for a long time. I did not know Richard all that well, but I had had a long relationship, good relationship with John Chichester, who just is a great guy all the way around. Both of them are. They're both really good people, and both are tech graduates, so go figure.
Go figure. You all get together and figure things out. The actually, the official name is the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance at the University of Mary Washington.
Yes.
And that's where your office is, right?
We're
well,
in a building.
I've never been invited to your office, but I understand.
Well, you're welcome
it's over
to
there.
Come by. It's pretty pedestrian, actually. But we're in Eagle Village in a building that the foundation owned it, and now the university owns it. And we have an operating agreement with Mary Washington where they provide significant funding for us, and in exchange for that, there are a ton of services that we provide back to them. We also kind of check a box for them because every public university and community college has to have economic development within their region as one of their functions.
Oh, okay.
Different schools do it differently. Tech chose to have an in-house economic development function. We sort of serve as, if you will, an extension of the university for economic development. We're not university employees. We're separate 501c6. But the provost sits on our board, as does the president of Germana, and we have just a terrific relationship with the university.
And the Regional Alliance, but you work with all area localities.
Yes.
In this area, yes.
Yeah. So it's the city of Fredericksburg and the counties of Caroline, Spotsylvania, and Stafford. And it's not just business recruitment. We do a ton of research for the localities because, you know, it saves them money and resources. We have the subscription to the databases that you need to look at wages and job growth and cost of living, those sorts of factors. And so when they've got a prospect and they're looking for wage data or they're looking for employment data, we provide that. So it's not just recruitment. One of the big things we're working on now is a grant through Go Virginia. We're basically out of sites.
We're out of sites.
We're out of sites between logistics, distribution, now some industrial flex buildings, which are being taken up by contractors who support data centers. maintenance operations and data centers. We're sort of out of big sites for industrial prospects. So we're working with our localities to identify some sites to go to work on and look at preliminary engineering, business-ready site audits, which also look at, you do phase one environmentals on those. We're going to be out scouring the countryside looking for some sites.
Wait, and that's something we've done. I remember doing a number of shows with you on the fact that when you first got there, one of the things you wanted to have was to have localities have ready-made sites. So mm-hmm. when a prospect came in, it gave the locality and the region a jump to be able to say,
correct,
we've got this here, it's sitting here, go.
Right, and they're gone. it worked.
Yeah.
But we it wasn't just us. The localities also had identified sites of their own. But we did, I think it was 6 business-ready site audits on behalf of our localities. Each of them nominated a site plus a site that the university owns or the foundation owned in Stafford. They're all gone because we had the information we could provide a prospect right there that gave them a jump start on site development.
Well, I guess that's good, but it also is concerning.
Good,
as you look ahead.
Yeah, it runs in cycles. You also have repurposing and redevelopment, like we were talking about the GM plant. I mean, that's gone through several different iterations. So things turn over. There were empty buildings when I came here coming out of the recession.
Yeah.
And they filled up really quick. Really quick.
This was maybe 10 years ago or something. I can remember driving through Indiana, and there were a couple of localities that had all of these empty warehouses and all these signs saying, ready to go. And I remember texting you and saying, I see this right here. It's all, this particular locality. And you said to me, we all are doing the same thing.
Yeah. Indiana got hit particularly hard because of the much bigger presence of the auto industry in Indiana. And to some degree, RV and camper manufacturing took a beating back then. And the Elkhart area is ground zero for making virtually every camper and RV in the country. And a number of those firms went out of business during that period.
Craig Roberts here this morning, the soon-to-be retiring president of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance at the University of Mary Washington. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Craig Roberts in this morning, the soon-to-be retired president of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance at the University of Mary Washington. Boy,
is national champion Eagles of the University of Mary.
Yeah, what a great story that is!
It is.
And what a great game that was the other night.
Yeah, my wife's had her Mary Washington flag out all week.
Yeah,
I said, can I put my Tech flag out? Nope. Not putting a loser's flag out this week.
Now,
put out Mary Washington's flag.
That is a great story. You just wish that it were. I mean, I understand what the NCAA is doing, but you bring all the divisions together and you play your championship in Indianapolis. But to have to wait.
Is that the same arena that they did Hoosiers in?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because that arena still exists.
Yeah, it does. Yes. I'm not sure.
Somebody plays there. Some university
has. I think Butler
does.
Doesn't Butler?
Butler.
I think
it's Butler's arena.
Yeah, I think Butler does. But the Mary Washington story is a great.
Oh, it's terrific. And there's no seniors on the team, right?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
So,
who are they playing? Mercer?
No, they're playing Emory. Emory University. They're playing for the championship.
Oh, out of Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them.
So, good luck, Mary
Is
Washington.
It going to be earlier than 8 o'clock this time?
Yeah, it's 4:30.
Good.
It's
Thank goodness. I'll be able to stay.
I know.
Is it this Sunday or next Sunday?
Next Sunday.
So, it's Sunday
it's
week.
It's April the 5th.
Okay.
Yes, it's that weekend. They all do it that weekend.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
Really neat. Good for them.
somebody last year had told me that they had all underclassmen and watch them grow and they're gonna do something. They certainly have.
He's built a nice program
for this area. It's great.
First year I was here, I got a Christmas card, university Christmas card from Rick Hurley. Well, it was this monochromatic photo of kids throwing softballs or snowballs at each other. And the only colors on it were orange and maroon. Like a kid had an orange scarf and another kid had a maroon stocking hat on and all that. I saved that in January and went over to – I had a meeting with Rick. And so I walked into his office and I said, on behalf of Tech alumni everywhere, I want to thank you for your Christmas card.
Right.
I can't repeat what he said. He did not find the humor in it.
That is good. So as we talk about – just the changes you've seen, boy, the way economic development is done has certainly changed over the years. I remember having talks with Gene Bailey. Gene your predecessor?
Yes.
He was before you.
Yes, he was. Yep.
And just how he used the internet. And now it's beyond that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when I started, we didn't even have cell phones back in the 80s. You know, they became a thing. Yes, the internet changed a lot. The other thing, that COVID changed a lot. We do a lot more stuff virtually than we did pre-COVID. It's reduced travel. We've got an Asian prospect, and they came in the fall, and they looked at a building, and that building's not available now. Instead of them having to fly here again, the realtor did a virtual tour of the building for them, and they're gonna take the building or the space, and you know, just the ease and the speed of turning things around like that, it's gotten a lot better. As I mentioned earlier, and it'll be coming out in May, we've gone through a sort of a rebranding, not only of how to market the region for economic development, but our organizational name will change to match that brand. And that'll be announced, I think it's May 13th.
I did not realize that.
And so we're going through a complete rebuild of our website. There are tools and widgets we don't have that we need to put on it. This has come out of – this initiative was part of a capital campaign that we did a couple of years ago. But site location consultants account for as much as 60% of projects in a given year. A lot of them are – out of large commercial real estate firms, accounting firms, that sort of thing. And we had three different sets of consultants over about a five-year period tell us we had no image from an economic development standpoint. One said, you know, he didn't bother to look at his schedule until he went to book his ticket, and he was wondering why he was going to Fredericksburg, Texas. So he had to look at it twice to figure out, and he had just been in Fredericksburg, Texas, ironically. Another one thought he was going to Frederick, Maryland. Until he landed in Richmond, he wasn't paying much attention.
Yeah.
So that's not helpful. And we're also not taking advantage of how much economic development activity we've had over the last decade, and leading out there with, you know, everything from logistics facilities to flex industrial to data centers to something like Kalahari. We've just got to do a better job promoting those things.
Interesting.
Because it feeds on itself.
To be told that, I'm sure you don't want to hear something like that.
No, I'm glad they told us.
Yeah.
It was the only common thing all three groups said. And so that was a big part of it. As a matter of fact, when we tested our message for the capital campaign, that was the number one thing. The large employers were saying that when they go to recruit somebody, we don't have an image. We've got so many great stories to tell. Mm-hmm. We just need a better platform to do it with.
Well, if I didn't realize all this was taking place. I could have been begging you for weeks to just give me just a little nugget that we can.
We'll get you. The other thing that we're working on and really excited about, and we may have it out this week. We commissioned an economic impact study for the proposed med school that the university and Mary Washington Healthcare. That's the only thing I sort of regret about retiring. That's
going to ask you. I'm surprised you're leaving because that's a big thing.
It's just transformational. It's I think it's brilliant on their part.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, frankly, we're underserved. I mean, it takes me forever to get an appointment with a primary care physician. I had kept my primary care physician in Richmond, but now that we're going to be here full time, I started moving it over to the residency program at Mary Washington. They've been great, but it took me about 3 months to get an appointment just to get a physical. And our population has grown so fast, we've not been able to keep up with the demand for healthcare services, and then you lay the VA clinic into it. Not being critical, it's a great asset to have. But we're going to be playing catch-up on especially internal medicine and family practices. And I think the university is and Mary Washington Healthcare should be commended. They've done a lot of research. Our current med schools don't really focus on primary care. It's not as sexy as specialties. And the problem with that is if you're in a specialty and you go practice at Johns Hopkins during your residency, you're probably going to stay there.
Right.
If we can grow our own, and there's no criticism, but our med schools reject about 7,000 applicants a year. So there's a nice pool of potential applicants available for med school here.
And then keep them here.
Yeah, if you keep them, I'm not sure this is the exact number, but it's like 65 to 70%. If you do your residency somewhere, you tend to stay there. And it's a very high percentage. But even if they leave, the state's underserved. It's not, you know, we have a problem because of population growth or a challenge that we need to meet. But there are not enough primary care physicians anywhere in Virginia. So it's a very exciting project.
Well, and just what it will do for the university, what it does for
absolutely
Mary Washington, and what it does, like you say, for the region, because we all have dealt with it. Looking for a doctor it can be a nightmare.
The structural model that they're looking at is what Carilion and Virginia Tech did in Roanoke, and that's been, frankly, very transformational for the Roanoke Valley and hemp. How much other healthcare services they've been able to attract, as well as manufacturers. Mm-hmm. But that's a specialty. It's research physicians is what they turn out. And I think in the last 4 years, only one physician has stayed in Virginia. They've left the state.
Wow. That's a staggering statistic.
Yeah, it is. And again, not a criticism, it's just an observation of the nature of the types of physicians they're turning out. I think it's brilliant on their part.
Corey Roberts here, the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance is our guest this morning. Another topic you and I have spent a lot of time talking about over the years was commuting, and you always, the underlying, we talked about jobs, one of the things that excites you about this kind of work, and just being able to get the commuting times down and also provide jobs in this area where people don't have to commute.
Yeah, it's the out commute when I came here was, I don't know, let's call it 79,000 out, but we only had like 25 coming in to the region. So you got a net of about 50, a net out commute.
Yeah.
It's never going to be no out commute. What you try to do is get it as close to even as possible.
Yeah.
And there's some real upsides from a census tract standpoint that will help you if you've got it more of a net neutral. But that's that's a rabbit hole we could spend a half an hour talking about. Last time we checked, we've now got something around 50,000 coming in and still got about 81, 82 going out. So the incoming is growing faster than the commute out.
Okay, that's a change.
One of the things, though, you've got to create jobs that pay 100,000 plus to compete with what the wage is for most of our out commuters. going back to the pharmaceutical company that I mentioned, they like to cluster because they swap employees, or their educational systems will grow up to supply them. We were doing our first commuter study when we were talking to them, and the question was, where am I going to get my workforce? Because there's no us here. There's nobody in this business, and they were going to employ about 200, 250 people. So I asked them what the first degrees were of most of their employees, and it was what you would think it was. It was biology, chemistry, chemical engineering, pharmacology. And so I went to the researcher who was doing that, and I said, can you pull out of the population how many people we've got with these first degrees in the out-commute? He said, sure. So he worked on it for a weekend. It was 1,932. And I sent it back to him. And that the average wage in that factory was going to be over, or that pharmaceutical production facility was going to be over 100,000. And I said, I think I can answer your employment issue. It's 1,932.
Yeah.
And so that went off the table as a concern for them. So that's the value of that data.
Yeah. The other thing, and we real recently in talking about over the – I mean, you were really one of the first people that got me on to data centers and how that was going to impact localities. And you had, I guess, the advantage. I remember we talked sometime on air, sometime off air about, you know, what you'd seen in Loudoun and Prince William, and how Stafford was one of the early ones of starting to look at
them. Yeah, they actually, that was a priority for our region before I got here. Stafford had actually been working on it since about 2011. It was good we didn't get something early, because it gave us time to not replicate some of the things
in
Loudoun and Prince William. It'd take lessons learned. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. And we sort of became and the industry, you know, is still relatively young, so they're learning lessons themselves. And that's why you now see them going to bigger sites and, frankly, spreading out and getting away from each other. You'll never see a Loudoun or Prince William again. That sort of density, you're just not going to see. For a lot of reasons, a lot of historic reasons, but also from a development standpoint and a resource standpoint, you're not going to see it.
Now, I had you and Scott Mayowski, you and Charlie Payne had some real interesting discussions about just the, and it's been, just what down the line it's going to mean, what it means as far as money goes for the localities.
There is nothing that provides as much tax revenue and generates less demand for services. There's nothing. There's nothing even close.
Yeah.
And it doesn't generate a lot of traffic. It does generate a lot of secondary jobs, especially around the construction trades, which we need more people in the trades, not just for data centers, but generally in a growing community like this. And I think, you know, I'm really excited about what our school systems are doing on the trades. I'm excited about what Germana is doing in that area. And it's probably it's not been this much of a focus until the last 5 or 6 years. And I think a lot of that's also driven by the data centers. I mean, you're making the trades attractive again. I know. Who was I talking to last week? I can't remember who it was. It kind of surprised me. Somebody with an advanced degree, and his son's in an apprentice program with the Electrical Workers Union.
Yeah.
Well, 5-year journeyman for the IBEW in Northern Virginia, it makes 120.
I was going to say, there's those kinds of
plus
jobs.
Plus a pension, plus health care. Yeah. So, you know, when we first started talking to the school systems about data centers and what they need, and I said something about needing a bunch of electricians, and I remember one of the superintendents, how many electricians do you need? And I said, don't worry about it. You'll never produce too many.
Yeah.
They're always in demand.
Yeah, always. Yep.
So,
Corey Roberts here, Fredericksburg Regional Alliance. We'll take one final break and conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk Podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Kurt Roberts here this morning. Good stuff, as we have talked about your career and talked about the work of the Fredericksburg Regional Alliance and the name change and the rebranding. There's exciting things happening in this region. You look at Kalahari coming in. You look at data centers. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, and like we were just talking about the med school. I mean, you know, we're over 400,000 in population, and that's a fairly sizable area. I think our localities have done a pretty good job of balancing growth with maintaining open space, focusing primarily on the 95 corridor. You can't build roads fast enough because they're never ahead of demand very often. So we still got some transportation issues, but if we can keep chipping away at the out commute, and actually our worst days are not due to our out commute. They're summer weekend days.
That is true. Yeah,
the weekends, Fridays and Sundays. In the summer.
Yeah,
are our highest transportation days. So that's not us. And I hope the state comes back and keeps some focus on that with the feds. And I think the hot lanes have been great, but they need to go further south. They'll get around to it at some point. So we'll see. We'll see.
So what do you do? You can't go every Saturday to a game at Lane Stadium. I guess you could still text me and tell UVA jokes to me. But what do you do in the days
ahead?
I'll
come back with Scott and do football programming.
That doesn't go away.
I got more time to study that stuff. No, you're right. I can't play golf and I can't fish every day.
Yeah, you fish a lot too, don't you?
I love to fish, yeah. It's just great. I got a one-man boat and just go out on a pond and smoke cigars and fish. It's nothing more relaxing than that.
Right.
And I go to AP Hill a lot. It's a great place because it's, I shouldn't tell anybody this. It's not heavily fished now. Everybody go get an access license. It's sort of counterproductive. But I've got some consulting opportunities that I'm going to pursue, which is great because – you can make your own schedule in that world to a large degree. So I won't do nothing. I can't.
But you're in this area because so often people will retire and leave. And that's why I was happy when you told me you were going to
anywhere. We love it here.
You would be in the and stay in this area.
Yeah, absolutely love it here. It's just a great town and a great region.
Well, and like you say, it hasn't gotten probably as the whole thing with the whole thing with the university and the. With the med school, it's really a transformational thing in a lot of areas, and that really is worth something to look at.
Well, and it's important to us because healthcare is one of the things that's economic development projects. They look at that. They look at those sorts of ratios, and are their employees going to have good healthcare? It's just so much of an upside. For the region. Those of us who are already here and those to come are going to benefit from it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the, whether it's from the state fair to now, you have been a great source of information for me, of just teaching me some things. But also being able to watch a lot of these things happen.
Well, this sort of, do you remember the movie White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
Perez. And Rosie Perez is studying to try to get on Jeopardy. And she finally tells him, if you don't get me on Jeopardy, I've got all this useless knowledge and I'm going to explode.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I feel some days. How do I get on Jeopardy? But it's been great. I've had a great run at this job. I had great boards and it really enjoyed it.
Curry Roberts. Curry, you'll be around. You'll be in here talking sports with me still. So we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you
for
what
you've meant for the region.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.